I'd like to begin in the book of Psalms. Pray my voice holds out. Psalms, the 33rd chapter. Beginning in the 6th verse, Psalms 33 and verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Thinking this afternoon about the Master's voice. Scripture says here, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. I know this is something that we no doubt all know, believe, have heard throughout our lives. Know the account of the story of Genesis where God, in the beginning, that God spake and it was done. But I want to consider that for a moment. Don't feel that we can do justice to what all went into that. You know, whenever we go to make something, go to invent something, many times the technologies, the things that we're inventing today are built on the shoulders of many who have come before us. Those who have been pioneers in their field of science or study that have experimented. Edison, different inventors who were known not usually on the first try, but after try, after try, after try, Edison, the Wright brothers, some of them 1,000 times, close to 1,000 times of trying. Well, let's try this. Well, that didn't work. Well, that worked a little bit better, but I think if we adjust this, and I think if we change these conditions a little bit, then let's try it again, and we'll see if we get a better result out of it. And it's the process, and I appreciate those who have been able to provide and figure out and develop the things that we enjoy, make our lives comfortable today and convenient. I appreciate that. And I look at some of what they've done and I wonder, could I ever do something like that? If I were to start from scratch and I didn't have anything to start from and I needed a vehicle to get me from here across country, what would I do? How would I start? There are so many technologies already available that I can go purchase this and purchase this component and maybe I could put it together. That's not inventing or creating something, really. The Lord God from nothing, created everything that is. It didn't take 1,000 tries. It didn't take, well, let's try this and see how that works together. Nope, that planet collided with that one. Let's start over again. Let's try it again. Back to the drawing board again. Let's see if I can tweak something here and get it right. The Lord didn't have to do that. The God of heaven, it says that by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Whenever you start talking about light years, that blows my mind pretty quickly. When you start talking about millions of light years, infinite, that God, by the word of his power, he spoke, and by the authority of his word, by his omnipotence, omniscience, knowing and having all the answers, not having part of it, not relying on those that had come before him, for there were none, and there was nothing. But he started from nothing, and by the word of his power, he spoke, and all of it came into being. It didn't take millions of years. It didn't take all that time for it to slowly become what it was. By his word, he did it right the first time. He's got a track record of that, you know. What he does well. He does right. And he does it right the first time. He spake, and it was done. If you look in the original wording, that word done was not there. As if he spoke and it was accomplished or someone accomplished it. But simply that he spake and it was. He said, let there be, and there was light. Let there be an earth and all the things that he created that he said, let there be. He spoke the word and he had the authority, the power for it to be. Psalms, the 46th chapter. 46 and verse 6 says, the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. At the sound of his voice, I want us to realize a little more this afternoon, the power and the authority in the Master's voice. That whenever the Lord needed to change a situation, whenever the Lord needed to stop the enemy, whenever the Lord needed his people to go through the sea, the Lord was not hindered or limited or at a loss or had to try over and over, but the Lord was able to just speak the word and the earth would melt. The situation would change. Things would turn around. I'm thankful today that's the God that we serve. That's the God that we can approach. 97th chapter of Psalms and verse 5 says, the hills melted like wax at his presence. I don't know of anyone who's able, by their word, to cause something to come into being, to cause something to be created or something to be changed. Who of us, by taking any thought, can add to our stature or change something like that? And yet the Father, the Master, was able to create all things by his word or by his voice. There's a song perhaps you've heard sung, and I'll not try to sing it. It says, the wonder of wonders, as she looked on his face, that this little boy spoke the worlds in their place. The stars and the moon shining brightly on them, the earth and the sun were created by him. The wonder of wonders as she heard his small cry, that this voice had thundered on Mount Sinai. The hand that she held so tenderly had made a dry path through the mighty Red Sea. The wonder of wonders as she looked down and smiled, that he was her maker, as well as her child. He created the womb that had given him birth. He was God incarnate, come down to the earth. The wonder of wonders, oh, how could it be that God became flesh and was given for me? The Almighty came down and walked among men. The wonder of wonders, he died for my sin. I'd like to look at the 12th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. The 25th verse says, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but heaven. Referring back to a time, and we can read in the Old Testament when the Lord called Moses up into the mountain, and the mountain trembled, and they could see the effect of the Lord and his presence and his voice and sounding like a thundering over the mountain. And it caused a fear to fall over the people. And even it says him that spoke on the earth, Moses, when he gave the law, every disobedience was dealt with accordingly, was rewarded as such. There was a fear and a respect that they had for the voice of Moses, not because of who Moses was or the way his voice sounded. Moses indeed was ashamed at one point in his life of how his voice sounded, was at least self-conscious about it. Lord, I'm not able. I don't have an able tongue. I'm not able to speak. And yet there was an authority that backed up that voice. It was something, you remember a man, he had watched the disciples and watched them casting out spirits, and he thought, I'm going to try that. I hear the words that you say, I'll say the same words. Come out of him. Jesus we know, and who was it, Peter or Paul we know, but who are you? It's more than the words. It's more than the sound of the voice. There was an authority that backed that up. And so, with the voice of Moses, but you remember when the disciples were called up into the mount that we call Transfiguration, Jesus was transfigured before them and appeared with them, Moses and Elijah, symbolizing the law and the prophets who had foretold and had pointed to this time when Jesus would come, and Peter was eager to erect three temples there to honor each of them. And the Lord wasn't pleased with that. The Lord spoke and made very clear, this is my son, hear ye him. He's the one, his voice is the one that you're to hear and to hearken to. So it says, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. That voice that created the world, that voice that spoke and the universe came into existence. He spake and it was, yet we read in Psalms, the 81st chapter, in spite of that effect that his word had upon his creation, we read here in Psalms 81 and 11, it says, my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. His voice that could cause the mountains to melt, that could cause the universe to be created, yet whenever he spoke, man didn't respond. Man didn't hearken unto his voice. Lord, help us to hearken to the Master's voice, to listen to the voice that speaks unto us still today. Hebrews, it's good to go with that. Hebrews, the first chapter. Hebrews 1 and 1, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the world, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He hath in these last days spoken unto us. He who made the worlds, he who upholds all things by the word of his power. We read in 2 Peter 3 and 7, it says, by the same word are all these things kept in store unto the day of judgment. By the word of his power, it said he spoke and it was. It stood fast and it has not changed, upheld by the power and the authority of his voice that spoke. And he's interested in speaking to every one of us. Lord, help us to be moved when he speaks. That it would have an effect upon us. It had an effect on the world. It had an effect whenever he speaks. Read in Psalms one place that said he commands and the waves raise up, and it talks about how the sailors are, they melt like wax with fear, and then he speaks again and the sea is a calm. He who does all that, who has the nature and creation at his fingertips, by the sound of his voice can spin up a tornado, can cause it to die out and be nothing. Lord, help me to respond to his voice as well. whenever the Lord comes along and speaks to me, to think that the power that He had over the universe by His voice, yet it can have no effect on me if I choose for it to be that way. If I choose to ignore the sound of His voice, it can yet have no effect upon me. I'd like to consider a few examples that we're all familiar with of the Master's voice and the effect that it had. John, the 11th chapter. John chapter 11, and beginning in the 41st verse, speaking of Lazarus. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me, and I know that Thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that Thou hast sent me. When he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound head and hand and foot. Well, what would you expect? The Master spoke. That same voice that thundered on Mount Sinai, that same voice that spoke, and it was, now spoke unto one who was dead and had been dead for a number of days, his body already decaying, defied the laws of physics which he himself had created. He's able to do that. He's able to overcome and reverse and reset the very laws that he set in place. They're upheld by the word of his power. So whenever he speaks, his voice sounded forth, Lazarus, come forth. There was no grave that could hold somebody in that case. He spoke and life entered back into him. He didn't have to go and call all the surgeons and see if there's something we can do. Let's try this. Let's experiment here. Let's see if we can somehow and go in and say, well, let me try this and see and put on a production and a show. It wasn't needed. What was needed was the Master's voice. And life came back into Lazarus. Mark, the 4th chapter. Mark 4 and 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? It's because he made them. It's because they belong unto him. He's able to speak the word. And he looked at them and I want us to be challenged as well this afternoon as I believe they were. Why are ye so fearful? Why are you so afraid? Didn't you know? Don't you believe in who I am? Why are you so surprised? Have you ever been surprised by an answer to prayer? Why were you so surprised? Have you ever been fearful? In life, the storms of life, things that come up, Lord, what are we going to do? How are we going to handle this? Lord, how are we going to work this out? What's going to come of it? Or perhaps we know, as the men on the ship here felt, that they knew this thing is going to end in tragedy. I can see where it's going. I know the natural course of this thing, and it's inevitable. We're going down. You're there asleep. Don't you care about the fact that we're going down? Why were you so fearful? Lord, help us to remember who it is that we serve. To remember that it's He that spake, and it was. He doesn't need to experiment. He doesn't need to go consult others to try to figure out, what do I do in this situation? I've never handled this one before. What do I do here? How do I take care of it? He speaks, and it's done. The winds and the waves obeyed his voice. Mark the 5th chapter now. Mark 5, the story of Legion, the land of the Gadarenes, a man feared by all in the area, untamable. People had tried, they couldn't do it. They tried to find the answer and the solution, at least control, bind this individual, and they were unable until the day that the Master came. And whenever he looked upon that man, beginning in the 6th verse, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he said, answered, "Saying, my name is Legion, for we are many." The story goes on of how the spirits pleaded with him to let them go into the swine, and he permitted it to be so, but the spirits had no choice but to exit. The Lord had spoken to him and said, "Come out." The Master's voice had sounded. You know, if we're not careful, our faith can be hindered by our reasoning. We can look at situations and think it's impossible. We can look at people and think they're impossible. We can look at situations that people get themselves into, and it can hinder our faith. Folks, we're called to be a light on a hill. We're called to extend the offer of salvation to any and all, no matter how dark, how bound, how troubled they are. I can look at, I don't know how to deal with people like that. I wouldn't know where to start. I wouldn't know how to get them out of this place. I don't need to know how. Let us remember today the voice of the Master. Let our faith be inspired to know that the Lord is able to speak the word still today. Let's look at another instance while we're considering the ministry of Jesus. John chapter 4. John 4, Jesus came, 46, again into Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. There was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, "Except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The nobleman saith unto him, "Sir, come down ere my child die." Jesus saith unto him, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was going down, his servants met him and told him, "Thy son liveth." Of course, the Master spoke. The Master gave the order, gave the word, and he lived. From that self same hour that the Lord spoke, it was done. Jesus, in speaking to the man who had been at the pool of Bethesda, we read here further up in this chapter, he said, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And with the issuance of those words, with his voice as he spoke that very thing, it says, immediately the man was made whole. We can look at it and try to figure out in our mind, it would have to be this way and then this way and then that would have to happen. And that, I don't see how, Lord, you're going to have to work this out. And then, Lord, here, I'll guide you kind of how you need to work here and what you need to do next. And the Lord, he is God. He is the one that spake and it was. We've read here of instances where the Lord, by the power of his voice, and again, of course, more than just the sound coming out, But as he spake with the power and authority belonging only to him, the situation changed immediately. He spoke and demonstrated that he had power over death and the grave, that he had power over sickness and disease, that he had power over the elements, over nature, the weather, that he had power over Satan, that he had power over all the unclean spirits that are conceivable. By the word that he spoke, he had the power. Thank the Lord that he is the same master that we serve. And in the needs of our life, where sometimes maybe I would be in despair and wonderment and how could it be and how could it work out, and let us remember that the Master's voice is all that's needed. For us to have faith and belief in him, that the Lord is able to speak and the situation changes. I don't have to explain how and understand how. There's a world today of people that know not this God, that don't understand, that haven't seen his power working in their lives, that it is too hard for them to accept that a God could speak and it be done. And so instead they try to explain and reason and find processes and somehow that this could have come into being without a God. But thank God that we can know him, that we can know this power in our own lives. This authority with which Jesus spoke, and we know that Nicodemus, others, they testified of that. Never a man spake like this man, authority with which he spake. It all testified of God's workings and of God's power, of what the Lord was able to do to the man who was sick of the palsy, that he looked at and he healed him and he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. They looked and they marveled at that, but he told him, he said, I've healed this man, in my words, I've healed this man that you might believe that I also have power to heal and forgive his sins. It is, the Lord wants us to see his power, and we can see it all around in the creation around us if we will. It is for us to believe, for us to know and be reminded of the God that we serve, that our faith would not be hindered or limited by what I see and what I understand and what I know and what I can work out, but instead I can put my life in God's hands. I don't see it all. I don't see the answers. I don't know how. But Lord, would you speak? Lord, would you speak to this problem in my life? Lord, would you speak to this affliction? Lord, would you speak to this situation in my life? And we can put ourselves in his hands, the one who knows best for our lives, who knows what is his perfect will for us. And he's able. He doesn't need a consultation. He doesn't need our advice. He doesn't need to scratch his head and try to figure out what he's going to do. He doesn't need to stand or build upon the shoulders of some who have come before him. I am that I am. And whenever the great I am speaks, Satan has to flee. Folks, there's nothing that can stand before him. The scripture says that the hills melted like wax. That's the power of his speaking and of his voice. So I want to encourage us with that, that our faith would be strong in the one in whom we believe, and that we would take heed, that we would listen to the voice of him that speaks, and that we would not forsake or refuse, as the scripture says, refuse not him that speaketh. Whenever he wants to speak in our lives, we alone, unlike all the rest of nature and of creation, where he can cause an earthquake, a typhoon, cyclone, whatever he wants to cause, a tsunami, by his voice, by his word, he can control it. He can send the geese down south if he wants, and the monarch butterflies and all those things. by his word. Yet mankind, as we read of the children of Israel, they hearken not unto his voice. His voice spake and they were yet unmoved, because he's given us a will. He's given us a choice and he's not willing to override that choice. But he is a sovereign God. He is sovereign and he's able to have his way. The scripture says in the winds and the whirlwind, he can have his way in those things. The scripture says that he setteth up kings and he takes them down again. You know, we can get so worked up in our minds. We can get so troubled and distressed. We look at situations around us. We look at condition of governments, and we're getting into an election cycle that we'll be in now for the next, year and a half. And folks, if we're not careful, we can lose our peace and get distressed and disturbed. And what are we going to do and how are we going to control this thing? We're not. Let's give it to the one that does control it. To the one that's able to speak the word. And Pharaoh doesn't even understand why he's thinking that way. Doesn't even understand why he made that decision. Folks, the Lord is able to speak. The Lord is able to have his way. I'm so thankful today to be able to put my trust in him. And I want my faith to be strong. To look unto him, to believe, to trust in him. For when he speaks, it is done. You pray for me.